Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajoyaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36 from the Common English Bible. Hear the word of God. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, there will be dismay among nations in their confusion over the roaring of the sea and surging waves. The planets and other heavenly bodies will be shaken, causing people to faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. Then they will see the human one coming on a cloud with power and great splendor. Now when these things begin to happen, stand up straight and raise your heads, because your redemption is near. Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you will know that God's kingdom is near. I assure you that this generation won't pass away until everything has happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will certainly not pass away. Take care that your hearts aren't dulled by drinking parties, drunkenness, and the anxieties of day-to-day life. Don't let that day fall upon you unexpectedly like a trap. It will come upon everyone who lives on the face of the whole earth. Stay alert at all times, praying that you are strong enough to escape everything that is about to happen, and to stand before the human one. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together before we begin. Loving God, I thank you for this opportunity that I get to preach your word. May you fill me with your spirit and season this sermon with grace. Amen. I love the time at the end of the year, because when it's the end of October, I get to celebrate my wife's birthday. It's also our anniversary, because that was when I asked her out. I get to celebrate her birthday, and then immediately followed are the different holidays, Thanksgiving, and then Advent and Christmas, all these amazing holidays that I get to be with my wife and my family. For many of us, having days off from work to enjoy time with our family and with friends makes the season extra special and something to look forward to. As I have mentioned earlier, today is the first day of Advent. Advent comes from the Greek word parousia. Our modern translation is the second coming of Christ. But what it really means literally is to be with us. And that's referring to Christ coming to be with us. The Latin translation is Adventum. So we start this time with our series, Come Home for Christmas. And today's title, sermon's title, is Time to Go Home. Each year around Christmas, before the pandemic, Christine and I would travel to San Jose to visit our parents who were still living there. And Christine's mom always made preparation for us. She would prepare a room. She would wash all the bed sheets and blankets and everything. And she would even cook meals for us. And we would spend the holidays together. And we would also visit my parents who are living nearby. And my mom, she loves to cook for us. She would wake up at 5 in the morning and preparing lunch for us. It was so good, and we love her cooking so much. The best part about Christmas is really it's about spending time with our loved ones. Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. It's preceding the arrest of Jesus and his trial and eventually crucifixion. So instead of reading about the arrival of baby Jesus coming into the world, we have the reading of the adult Jesus teaching in the temple of Jerusalem and about to be captured, tried, and eventually crucified. Many of us may curiously ask, why are we learning about warnings and signs of the end of time and suffering instead of joy and peace? If this is the kind of message we hear in the church that's making us depressed, wouldn't we rather go to the mall or places where they have lights and decorations and gifts and all the fun things to lift up our spirit and make us joyful? Yet the reality is, our world is suffering, and we need the restoration that comes from Christ and the participation of Christ's people and of the people of God. The church motto of discipleship is welcome, equip, and send out. We're making disciples of Jesus Christ. Why? Not only to fill the pew spaces, but also to be sent out and make a difference in our communities and our world. We have a deeper craving for true happiness that can only come from God and God's purpose for our lives. And though this text is apocalyptic and filled with foreboding images, it is not the focus of the text. Instead, it focuses on hope, the hope that comes from Christ, whose return is the promise of something better. It is the same idea that was preached during the time in the first century to Jesus' original audience to give them hope during the time of persecution and eventually being persecuted by the Romans. Now, in times when things are chaotic, when the heavenly bodies are shaken, Jesus wants his disciples to look up. For Luke, the author of this text, this warning possibly foreshadows the fall of Jerusalem in the year 70. But it could also foreshadow the eschaton, or the end of time, with the coming of the Son of Man. Here we see Jesus asks his audience to look up, pay attention, and be ready. Luke 21, 28 says, now when these things begin to happen, stand straight and raise your heads, because redemption is near. Naturally, when things are going bad, we have a habit of walking around with our heads down. I remember it was mid-spring of 1996, when my family immigrated to the United States from Vietnam. There were 5 of us: my dad, my mom, my middle brother who is older than me, my next sister, and then me. I was the youngest. We still have 3 others. So early one morning, my father took me to Monroe Middle School in San Jose. He got me registered for class using his broken English, but he was able to get me in class. And when I was there, the teacher asked me to go grab a seat in an empty seat in class, and I did. And he started to give instruction for class. And I had absolutely no idea what she was talking about because I did not speak English. It was scary. It was lonely. And I was mostly spending time by myself in fear. What makes it worse is that when I go to school, when I take the bus to go to school, I would get bullied at the bus stop because I was a 60-pound 10-year-old. It was hard. They would grab my backpack, and throw it at the end of the line. And I resisted, so there was a group of kids. And so they chased me, and I had to run and walk to class. I did not take the bus that day. But I have never told my parents that. So some of you may understand how I felt if you moved from places to places or if you have experienced being bullied. It was hard for me to keep my head up since I felt so miserable. However, I remember my favorite time was recess when I get to sit by myself on the edge of the schoolyard under the shade of a tree that provided me relief from the heat. And I would look up at the blue sky and see beautiful clouds, little patches of white clouds, just slowly passing by. And for a moment, I had a moment of transcendence. That transcendence gave me hope that the universe is so big and there is a chance for me and that things will eventually get better. Looking up while you're feeling down is an act of defiance, of refusing to give in and to find hope. Jesus also asked his audience to pay attention, to look at the fig tree and all the trees and learn from it. During the harsh and wet season of fall and winter, there aren't many leaves on some trees. It's hard to see any sign of life during such times. But know that when spring comes, new leaves will grow. And when it's summer, these trees will have a lot of new leaves abundantly. The key is for us to see potentiality and hope in the midst of a dreary season. Now that's hard to do when everything around us is gloomy and dark and dead. I imagine this must be how the prophet Ezekiel feel when God asked him to prophesy to the dead dry bones in the valley of the dry bones. To speak life to such dead and lifeless bones was hard. But Ezekiel listened and he prophesied. And those bones came to life. Here we are told to look at nature to interpret the coming of God's kingdom, or how I like to say it, God's kingdom, and to imagine hope where there's none. If we pay attention to the situations around us, we'll see that we are living in an environment where hopelessness is brewing. We see war, drought, wildfire, famine, disease, greed, corruptions, and others. Kathy Beach Verhey, in Feasting on the Word, says, "Our broken and hurting selves and world need Christ to come. And we must take time this Advent to prepare to receive him. The good news of Advent is not simply that Christ is coming, but that his coming means we can hope. Despite all that is falling apart in our lives, our communities, and the world around us. And so we prepare for Christ coming this season of Advent. While we commemorate and celebrate Christ's first coming as a child in the town of Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago to bring the good news of God's salvation, we also prepare for Christ's second coming to be with us. Advent is about preparing for Christ's coming. Excuse me. It's not about decoration or music or gifts under the Christmas tree. Although those things are good and necessary elements for celebration, it's more about preparing our hearts, our homes, and our community for Christ's return. Our world is far from perfect. There's still poverty, injustice, sickness, disease, inequality, oppression, greed, and deceitfulness, and much, much more. We have a responsibility as children of God to care for the world as our home and God's home. Jack Kornfield, a Buddhist practitioner, says, "To find our true home is to find ourselves, to find in ourselves an unshakable place in our hearts, in our being, where we belong to all things, where we are connected to the sky and the earth and the plants and the animals and the people around us. It is to care for wherever we find ourselves as our home." Kornfield's concept of home reminds us that we must care for all people and all things around us and all places around us as our home. If Christ returns but finds us unprepared and not attending to the needs of the poor and the cries of the oppressed, how would Christ judge us? Now just imagine if you were to come home for Christmas and there's no room for you at home and nothing has been prepared and your family members are grabbing at each other's throat. How would you feel? Would you even want to come home? We make room for Christ when we make room for others and support one another. We welcome Christ when we welcome strangers, especially those who are in need or oppressed. Excuse me. We need to care for each other as a community. I'm reminded of the traditional West African spiritual concept of Ubuntu. I am because we are. It reminds me that community support is important for individuals and communities' survival and well-being. Therefore, we not only look up and pay attention, we must also be ready for Christ's coming through our works of grace. I remember when I was a few years after I came over, when I was about freshman or sophomore in high school, I had a friend named Brandon. Now, Brandon didn't care that I spoke broken English or that I was fob, fresh off the boat. He was very nice to me, and he was my friend. Now, Brandon knew that I love to play video games, but I didn't have money to buy it. I couldn't afford it. My parents just came over. My mom was a babysitter, and my dad was working as a technician. So they couldn't afford to buy me video games. One day, Brandon brought to class a bag with a Sega Saturn console with at least 10 games. And that was expensive, I have to say. But he was willing to give me what he had so that I could have something to enjoy, because he knew how much I loved to play video games. I was speechless and was so thankful. That was the nicest thing anyone has ever done for me. I took it home and played on it every day. It was so awesome. Brandon not only gave me hope that there's goodness out there, that there are some people who actually care for other people, and that the world was not as miserable as I assumed it to be. But he also showed me something else. He showed me unconditional love. Something that I understand from personal experience. As you make preparations for Advent and Christmas this year, I invite you to remember Christ's call to make your heart, your home, and your community ready for Christ's return by filling them with warmth, hospitality, and hope. And as always, Christ is our hope, so pray and ask for strength to remain faithful. Amen. Now it's time for response in the Word. Each week we try to ask you to do something tangible to help you respond to the message that you have heard. And so I invite all of you to be the hope. Today's candle is a candle of hope that Sal and Deborah have lighted. It reminds us that Christ's coming means we can hope even when there's no hope around us. So be the hope for someone this week, wherever you find yourself. Be the hope.